What's up, everybody? It is Chris Aiken from Aftershocks TV and the Classic Metal Show. And I just want to tell you that if you want to support any one of the shows, any one of the stations, anything that we're doing over here at the CMS Network, then you need to be a subscriber over at Subscribestar. That's right. The website is on the bottom here, subscribestar.com/CMSPN. Just go over there. Pick a tier that fits you, whether it's the $2, $5, or $7 tier. None of it's too expensive. We give you lots of bonus footage. We give you lots of advanced viewing, advanced listening. We go out of our way to make that our primary place for social interaction. So if you want to chat with us over there, that is the coolest place to do it. So sign up today, all right? CMSPN's very own Subscribestar. It's just like Patreon, three tiers. You get charged once a month at the tier level that you want. You get all the goodies for that month. So check it out. It is subscribestar.com/CMSPN. Sign up today, please.
Right here on your Classic Metal Show from their, what the hell was that, Once Bitten release with The Fast Road to Nowhere. And kicking off the show tonight, we heard Big Cock with Bad Motherfucker. And a bad motherfucker coming to the mic, the guy who kicked Rona in the ass, my good friend and partner, Chris Aiken. What's going on, Chris?
What is up, sir? How we doing?
Bad Motherfucker. Yeah,
you just play that so that I'll say, you know what, I really like Big Cock.
Well, we're back again, and so how are things progressing? Are you have you made it to the mailbox yet?
I've not gone outside yet, but this is the week. This is definitely, I feel better now. Now it's just, the only thing that I have left is a little bit of a cough and I get tired. I mean, yesterday I worked 8 hours, which, you know, I worked 8 straight hours. And then crashed out for 4, you know, just, and I mean, collapse, crash, just gone. But, other than that, you know, I'm fine. I'm able to move room to room. Finally, I'm able to cook a little bit now without tiring out. So, you know, I'm getting there. I'm 95%, I'll say.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, yeah. we were just talking 3 weeks ago and you were talking about, you know, how frustrating it was. And, you know, I can't make it through a whole show. And,
yeah,
you know, you can barely make it to the bathroom without being winded and all this. And, you know, here we are just, 21 days later, and you're, moving about and working and, you know, getting back to, you know, semi-normal.
Yeah, getting back to life, thank God. You know, now it's going. I was talking to Matt that I do Aftershocks with today, and I was saying all that talk about me saying I'm never going out again. Well, now I'm starting to get the itch.
Yeah, sure.
Now I'm like, all right, I got to get out of this fucking house. I
gotta you got the antibodies now, so you should be all right.
Yeah, well, that's it. The big thing I got to do is get my car registered. My car fucking expired, the registration expired on my car while I was in the hospital. And I obviously have not been healthy enough to go and stand around for 3 hours at the DMV to get, you know, a temp tag, and then 2 more hours to get a fucking oxygen sensor so that I can get an e-checked and do all that bullshit. So it's like yeah, I don't even have a vehicle right now. Yeah. I mean, I'll drive it, I don't give a shit. You know, the odds of a cop actually stopping me for a sticker very slim, but why take the chance when you don't have to, I guess.
I get it. You couldn't, so this is one of the years you had to get e-checked before you get registered. I gotcha.
I gotta get e-checked, and they won't, you know, in order to take it to the e-check, I have to have a 30-day tag on it because I don't have valid stickers. My stickers expired last month.
Gotcha.
So it's like, fuck me, you know, I'm just... I got 15 things I got to do in order to get a stupid, what, $50 oxygen sensor and get $50 stickers on my car. But,
right,
you know, is what it is. It's, if that's the worst problem I have these days, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's It's curable. You can take care of it when the time comes.
Uh-huh, exactly. Now I think I could actually stand at the DMV for a minute or two.
Now, is your son not capable of helping you out with those things?
He could, but dude, it's all got to be in me, you know, with a car. You can't just send somebody else unless you have a power of attorney.
Well, I mean, you can go get e-checked. You know, it has to be your car.
That part could get done, but the
does he still not drive, or does he drive or not?
He's getting there. He's finally getting there. Finally got his temps.
At 30 years old, he's getting there.
At 28, he's got his temps. Jeez. Dude, these kids, they don't want to drive. They don't want to go.
Yeah, we had that discussion. It's just the weirdest goddamn thing. It's just so weird to me that there are so many young people, especially guys, that are in their mid to late 20s, maybe even early 30s, and they don't drive. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Well, the thing that they have that we didn't is Uber.
It doesn't matter.
They don't care. They don't want to spend to them. I could tell you the mentality, because I've had this argument with my kids. For them, it's $300 to $400 to have a car a month.
Well,
where if they go somewhere four times, it's still only like $150 on Uber.
Yeah, I know, but when you and I were at, you know, the age of 15, 16 years old, the first thing you wanted to do was get your own car.
Yeah, because then you had a place to drink and fuck. That was it for me. Once I had my license, I had a place to drink and or fuck.
Yeah, well, that wasn't my motivation. I mean, you know, yours was a little bit different, but you know, I belonged to a group of friends and we were all motorheads. I mean, it was fast cars and fixing up the old ones. Like I've said it before and I'll say it again, I still have my first car, 74 Nova Supersport.
Jesus.
You know, I still have it. And the thing is it was an integral part of your existence. You know, I drove to school in the last year of high school. You know, I didn't have to take the bus. I drove to school, you know.
And what was more embarrassing in high school than when your mom would drive you to school or to the football game or whatever? Your mom's dropping you off. It's like, ugh, I was the stereotypical kid in a movie. I was like, yeah, mom, just drop me off like two blocks before the school.
Yeah, but the thing is the whole, you know, for the guys who were, you know, the cool guys, the badasses. You know, I mean, you had a car, you could hear, they could hear you coming a block away. You know,
dude, the cool guys now are the ones that have the souped up fucking Xbox Five or the brandest newest Nintendo Switch or whatever. You know, it has nothing to do with vehicles anymore. Nothing. Cars don't even, I mean, and to be on some level, rightly so, because look at the fucking faggy cars that are being made these days. You know, who wants to show up with their 2007 Prius?
Well, dude, my newest car, my 2018 Camaro Super Sport, you know, I get compliments on that, you know, all the time. Because of the way things are fucked up, I'm thinking about trading it in for a 22.
Yeah, but you're old. They're young.
What difference does that make? I would have wanted one then now too.
Yeah, but that's you. You were always a car guy. These kids were for the most part not raised to be car guys.
Yeah, I know. You know what I got for my 12th birthday? A set of Craftsman tool set.
When you were in high school, did they have shop or auto shop?
Oh yeah. I didn't take any of the shop classes because I didn't need any. My dad was my personal teacher.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is I was twisted wrenches. I did my first tune up at 9 years old on a Chevy 250.
Right.
It's inline six cylinder Chevy 250. My dad taught me how to do a tune up, you know, and it was, you know, changing the six spark plugs and taking the points and condenser out and setting the gap and, you know, all that other stuff. And it was, for at the time, you know, you don't have to do all that shit anymore, but that's what, you know, that's what you had to do. And at 9 years old, that was the first time I did a tune up on a car.
Dude, but think about now how, and even at younger than me, because I'm an anomaly on this, but think about how many 40 year olds and under couldn't fucking find a spark plug in their car. Honestly, I mean, I can find the spark plugs, obviously, but you know, I couldn't do dick on my car. Nothing. I can't really change my own oil. I wouldn't know where to turn the wrench underneath the car to let the shit out. I wouldn't. I'm being honest. I wouldn't know. And I wouldn't know how to change a fan belt and loosen tension and tighten tension and yeah, and all of that shit. I wouldn't know any of that kind of shit. You sure know, dude, I was thrilled that on the car that you sold me, that I was able to do the, what were those things called? Coil packs?
Yeah.
I was able to change the coil packs by myself. That to me was a huge accomplishment. And let's be honest what it was. 2 screws for each one.
Yeah, it was 2 screws. You pop that out, yeah, take the little connectors out, put the connectors back on, drop another one in place and put the 2 screws back in.
And I'm telling you, when I was done with that, I was like, look at me fixing a fucking car.
Yeah, look at that.
I was like, look at me, Mechanic Chris.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was something.
Yeah, sure.
Dude, I and most people these days are so fucking anti-fixing their car. I'll be deadly honest. Right before I got sick, I lost my gas cap. I just drove off and lost my gas cap.
Yeah.
Go to AutoZone. And I had a bad windshield wiper too. I had them do all that.
Oh, of course.
I literally didn't even get out of the car. I called into the store and said, hey, I need a gas cap for a Altima, and I need a windshield wiper, driver's side. Come out and put it on when I get there. It's a red Nissan.
Yeah.
And I did. I came out. I honked the horn. They came out and did all that shit.
Did you tip them?
Yeah, of course.
Well, again, you know, some people wouldn't, but I'm just asking the question.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know you're not supposed to, but you have to.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I do that all the time. If somebody gave me that kind of service, I'm sitting in my car. Here, fix my car, fucky. Mm-hmm.
Well, I told you about the battery in that car, didn't I?
No.
Oh, dude. So I kept having a problem. This was maybe 3 months ago. Kept having a problem where that car runs great. I mean, it still runs perfect. It's still under 100,000 miles, you know. And I had this problem where the car just kept losing power. Stalling out, losing power. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this thing? So I go over to the mechanic. I thought there was something really wrong with this car. Mechanic looks at it, and the post on the battery.
Was it all corroded?
Not only was it corroded, but it corroded all the way around it and sunk into the fucking battery.
So it just basically deteriorated.
Yeah, it just dropped in. And then, I went to AutoZone to get a new battery, and then it was so corroded that they couldn't get the post out of the thing wouldn't loosen up. The connector wouldn't loosen up. So they had to take it with some kind of spike, like a chisel or something.
Yeah.
And bang that thing out and then bang it on with a hammer to put on the new one. You know, 'cause I'm such a good maintenance guy with my cars.
My nephew, the one who sent you the Lemmy.
Yeah.
He sent me a text.
Right.
Holy fuck. Jen, Joel, and I, which is my other nephew and his wife, mm-hmm, were just talking about this tonight. We were just pondering why my sister's kid doesn't want to get her driver's license. So fucking bizarre. Huh? A family friend of theirs is giving her a truck to drive, and when she's ready, she still won't do it. And she's like 21 years old. What the fuck?
Well, I'll tell you what, ask your nephew, or I'll ask your nephew here and he can text you the answer. Does that kid have an Xbox and a PlayStation and probably a handheld? I'll bet you anything the answer is yes. Because they don't need to get together like we did. Dude, they don't get together. They just play online. And now with the video technology, they can literally play their games online and watch what everybody's doing. They don't have to get together anymore.
Yeah.
It's a different world, man. It's not like us. We had to sneak off to a lake or something to hang out and smoke pot or drink or whatever.
Let's see here. No, she doesn't. She only has the a smartphone.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, maybe she's looking for that guy that's going to have the, the PlayStation or Nintendo, not the car.
I don't know, man. It's a different world we live in. I just don't get it because, you know, the guys that I hung out with, you know, we all had, when my friends had a Camaro, my other friend had a Monte Carlo, I had the Nova, you know, we all had, you know, we all had Chevys with the V8s in them. Right. And, you know, like the straight pipes with the cherry bomb glass packs and the, you know, the wide slicks on the rear and the Krager wheels and the whole thing, you know? And dude, it was just like, that's what we did.
I'm going to tell you how they look at that. They look at that like we look at the grease monkeys in Grease. Remember the movie Grease?
Yeah, of course.
And you saw all the slicksters with their slick back hair and their jackets and their, and they were all car guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you got American Graffiti and you got the Hollywood Nights as another movie.
Those are the cool ones. I'm talking about the not so cool ones.
Yeah, you know,
the guys in Grease or
of course.
The Fonz.
Yeah.
They look at us when we say, oh, you got to get out there and drive. And they're like, look, okay, Fonzie, whatever.
Yeah, I don't need independence. I don't need to live my life my own way.
Yeah, they don't see that. They just see it as, okay, old man.
I just need to be a slave to the master. Just tell me where to go. Where can I plug in?
Yeah, sure. Let me get a wrench, boomer. Yeah, shut up.
Well, I'll take a boomer with a wrench over a faggot with an Xbox any day of the week.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm great at Fast and Furious, the car game. I scored $2.3 billion on that one.
we'll see when electric goes out who's going to be the most resourceful one.
Yeah, we will, because we have guns to take anything we need.
Oh yeah, well, you and your gun there, boomer. No, this is boomer. Boom. Yeah.
Boomer. Damn right I am a boomer.
Exactly. Holy shit, I'm glad I didn't have kids, man. Fuck that.
Yeah, if I
had a kid that was like the kids today, I would be like Phil Collins. You're no son of mine. Fuck you.
Yeah. But then they might leave you like Phil Collins, not moving in a chair.
I would be like Jackie Gleason what the hell's the name of that?
You're passing
Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, geez. There's a nice reference from 50 years ago.
Well, if you've never seen Smokey and the Bandit, you're missing a classic. But it's like, there is no way you came from my loins. When I get home, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to punch your mama right in the mouth.
Funny.
I would disown him. If I had a kid like that, I would disown him. Fuck you.
You know, stand well, up. You wouldn't let it happen.
That's what I'm saying. If some freak of nature caused me to have a kid who was like that, it's like,
We all pick our battles with our kids. You can't win them all. You just can't. So you pick the ones. And I'll tell you, I mean, the one I picked was to never, ever let them be liberally mind fucked by the schools and by the, you know, the people around them. I made sure that they got conservative values constantly. And I just didn't let that happen. And I'm glad I did, because you know what? I'll take the fact that they fucking don't drive, as long as they're not just like, you owe me. You ruined my life because you brought me into a world that I didn't want to be in. You know, I wish I was gay, transphobe, whatever. Why can't we put up a trans flag on our yard?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, I'll take what I got, which is they don't drive, but they're not fucking queers either.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Who was it? I was watching. Who was it? I was going to send you the clip. It was just kind of funny. I'm trying to think who said it. It might have been, I was listening to ONA this week. I sent you the link for the 24/7. I'm telling you what, I'll props to whoever put together the whole 24/7 stream of all the Jocktobers from ONA.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Who was it that said it? They were saying something about, they were talking about the airlines and stuff. Oh, I know who it was. It was J.P. Sears, the comedian.
Okay, yeah.
He was talking about the backup in the Southwest Airlines this past week.
Right.
And of course, the media or Southwest Airlines would not report the truth about what was really going on there. They
You mean it wasn't just a glitch or whatever they said?
No, it was the pilots walked out in protest and mandates.
No.
See, that's exactly
no. Neely, it was just a scheduling glitch.
And it was just the weather.
Yeah, the weather scheduling glitch. That's why only their airline had like 10,000 planes grounded. Just them.
Yeah.
Thank God the weather wasn't the same for every other airline.
Yeah, I know. It's just when is the bullshit gonna stop? Stop already. We know what's the truth. Stop trying to cover shit up.
Hey, the truth is out sitting on a trick container out in the ocean.
Somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, that J.P. Sears, they were doing one of their goofy skits about what really happened at Southwest.
Right.
And they were, doing the whole parody, giving you all the reasons what took place there. And they had this one of the Southwest airline pilots tied up in a closet with a gag on his mouth. He couldn't speak about it because he kept, no, that's not the way it is, guys. What really happened is we walked out because of, and they go, he puts a piece of tape on its mouth. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, he's wrong.
That kind of stuff. And they goes, and all the stewardesses and the, what do they call those effeminate men who like to be stewardesses? Oh, yeah, flight attendants. Effeminate men that like to be stewardesses. But, I've told a million stories of flying and having a swishy gay guy, and you sit there and wonder, what would cause a guy to want to go, I would like to do that. I would like to serve people on a plane.
I'd like to show them where the exits are and show them how to work there. Maybe they'll let me personally attach their seatbelts. Plugged in.
I know what my reaction is every time I have to fly and there's an effeminate male being a flight attendant.
Yeah, it's bring me a double.
They want to bring you a drink or something, and my first reaction, even though it might not be on my face, but it's ugh.
Exactly. All right, so make sure you bring me some wet wipes with the little bottle, and don't open it. Don't open it, Mr. Cummy Fingers. I'll get it myself.
What is the matter with you? Yeah. Why are you a stewardess?
Would you like a Bacardi with your flight, sir? No, yeah. Not from you.
Yeah, I guarantee you don't work on your car either.
Guarantee he's got an Xbox, right?
Yeah. That's a guy who doesn't work on his car either.
Yeah, or he's put a picture of a naked chick on his wall and put an X on her box.
Yeah,
no! Exactly. No!
listening to the ONA 24/7 stream, the whole Jocktober thing. They were talking about, and one of the things that happened while you were away and during your sick time there was that Fez Watley passed away.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and they were talking about the Fezzes of the world. They were covering the radio shows that had the effeminate male.
Sure.
As part of the morning team.
Right. And
they were gauging him whether he was a Fez or a half a Fez.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I know you enjoyed that Ron and Fez show. I tried to listen to some of the archives, even here it is 10 years later or so. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to listen to some of the archives, and Ron Bennington is funny as fuck.
I just couldn't take the Fez.
You needed to go
about 2 years into their XM when Fez got all fucking mind fucked and they started having just Eastside Dave on full time. That shit was fucking hysterical.
Yeah. Oh, I have to look for that.
Yeah, it's really good. But yeah, dude, that it's funny you bring up, because you sent me the Jocktober.
Yeah.
I too have been on an O&A kick, but I've been on different subjects. Like one this week, I started listening to it, and then I turned it on because I just wanted something mindless to go to sleep to. And I turned on, I think it's 6 hours or something, of the best of the Ramon calls.
Okay.
Oh my God. I stayed up all fucking night. I stayed up all night laughing my goddamn ass off. It was so funny. Just what was funny to me isn't so much the Ramon calls.
Yes.
But it's the guests that they were purposely booking. You know, they had some guy that did the bro book, or the brocabulary book.
Yeah.
And everything was brocabulary. Oh, and they just kept asking, well, what's this mean? And this guy just kept going on and on. And at one point, Jimmy called in and Ramon, this guy's a fucking whatever, you know, he just killed him. And they just don't hang up on him. The guy walked out of studio. He left the studio pissed off. Goes downstairs. They send Eric after him. Hand him the phone. They convince him to come back up and do it to him again. I was like, God damn, you gotta be kidding me. It was so fucking funny.
I was listening to a segment today where they were doing the where the Scott and Todd, those are always good.
Scott and Todd.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know who it was that they had in the studio, but yeah. But the guest was mimicking Scott yeah. Shannon.
Right.
And he was sitting there going, he was sitting there mumbling to himself in the corner, and they kept going, what was that, Scott? And going, there was a tree on my house.
There's a tree on my house.
It's like an electric car.
That show was, I don't care what anybody says, that show was better than Howard at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And Howard, I've been going back because that's when one of the nice things about fucking stupid YouTube is literally every minute of the serious Howard Stern is up there.
Yeah.
And while he has sucked for about the last 10 years, the first five were really pretty good. When Artie was on the show, pretty goddamn funny. You know, it's just, we were so into O&A world, we didn't pay no attention at the time.
Right.
And we just kind of believed O&A that everything they were doing was shit over there. But, you know, and some of it was dumb, having the Howard News and all that other shit. That was so stupid. But, man, they did some good radio themselves, which is pretty fun now to have, considering that there's no good radio being made today. None.
Right. None.
You know, now everything, it's either political or it's just crap.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, after the virus channel went away,
mm-hmm.
that was really the end of the shock jock era. It was over.
Yeah, there's nothing now.
There's nothing left.
Except it's all on podcasts.
And it's only just you and I.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's other ones out there, but you got to really dig hard to find them. You know, you gotta suffer through a lot of stupid bullshit in order to get to a good one.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then they're gone. That's the other thing, too, is if they don't, you know, that's the one, not that I'm trying to teach anybody how to do a goddamn thing. But the only way you survive doing this kind of shock jockery type of shit, you got to stay in no matter what. You gotta dedicate to it. You gotta come up and say, I'm going to do this every week for 5 fucking years. Whether it catches on or not, you have to do it for 5 years to let it catch.
Well, the biggest thing is that most people are into it to make a living.
Yeah.
And there's nobody out there that will sponsor that type of content.
That's
the biggest thing, is that they couldn't sponsor something like that. Everybody mm-hmm. would run the other way.
Yeah.
There would be no corporate sponsor that would go, yeah, I'll sponsor that show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you get in trouble, then the few fucking local tire shops or whatever that you do get, they're going to go running for cover.
Of course.
You know, that's the crazy thing in today's gay world.
Jesus. Well, there you go. That's the reason why you and I are still around, aside from our perseverance, but yeah. We never did it for money.
Don't do it for money, and don't give two fucks what anybody says.
Well, that's the whole reason. So, you know, the thing is, you know, fortunately you and I have been very fortunate in our personal lives to you know, have good livelihoods that allow us
yeah.
to do this kind of a thing and not be interfered with in any way, shape or form. But, you know, a lot of people get into this broadcast stuff thinking that, well, this is going to be my living. And we knew from the beginning that would never be the case.
No, we had our shot. It didn't play. You know, when we had our offer with XM, we could have potentially done that, but it still wouldn't have been, dude, we would have been broke dick by that. You know, the more I thought about that shit, $60,000 in New York City would not have been a good
living. You couldn't even pay your rent.
Yeah. We'd have been living at the other side of Jersey, driving 3 hours to get into the fucking studio.
Yeah.
It would not have, we would have crashed and burned quick.
Yep.
You know, so I'm in a way, I'm glad that that all didn't play out. Well,
plus our ally was gone shortly after that too. Kevin, yeah, exactly. Kevin, what was his name? Kevin,
not Kevin Cash. That was, what was that guy's name? Dan something. I don't know. He's long gone.
I know, but that's when it was just XM, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And he went away and then we had, You know, then it was like when I hit him back, they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Probably the worst thing, you know, for the satellite thing was the merger. I mean,
it ruined it.
I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it just because, you know, Sirius was in such a deep hole financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the competition was killing them both.
Yeah. I still never understood why XM, that was the leader, sold to Sirius.
I don't understand it either. I think at the time, I could be mistaken, but I think at the time Sirius was in the hole $4 billion.
Yeah.
$4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reason why was because of the Howard Stern hiring.
Right. Well, dude, what are they going to do when he does? He's got to retire here eventually. I mean, he's down to what, 3 days a week and 6 months a year?
I haven't paid any attention to Howard at all.
I know he takes off all summer. He takes off literally from like June to September or something.
Really?
Yeah, he takes off the whole summer. But then his work week is only like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday now.
Yeah. Well, what do they do when he's gone? Is it just all replays?
Replays that have been cleansed. They don't play any. It's horrible.
Now. Really? So they sanitized even the replays?
Well, they don't. They just flat out don't play any of the really old stuff. They don't play any of the classic stuff with like making fun of the retards or whatever, other than like Beetlejuice. And they just play safe segments of that. It's nothing but replays of, hey, look who's in studio. It's Jennifer Aniston. Hey, Howard, let's talk about your week on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what would, there's no interest in that.
None. Not, dude. And I don't care what anybody says. He is not now and never has been a great interviewer. You know, I'll argue that point all day long. Rifling questions really fast so that people don't have time to think about an answer and accidentally say stupid things is not being a good interviewer. It's just getting them to say stupid things. That's what that guy was always good at. If you listen to any of his interviews, any of them from any point in his career, that's what he does. He'll ask a question, they'll start to answer it, and he'll jump in with something else so that they get caught off guard, so that they start answering shorter where he gets, and then he gets in a zinger. That's all that dude ever does. That's all he's ever done. Not a great interviewer at all.
Yeah. Well, I just listening to the ONA stream and, you know, the segments that are available out there, it's just like, that was a good time for, you know, radio entertainment.
Dude, I was the stereotypical guy, you know, with my XM radio, I had the portal. What was that thing called? The
MiFi. Yeah,
MiFi.
MiFi.
And I literally bought an extra antenna from where I sat in my office. And one night when everybody was gone, I went in there and wired my MiFi antenna to the window.
So you could face the south.
Yeah. So that I could have it inside, because I was kind of in a middle cubicle in my office. But we had a cubicle, you know, we had like a wall of cubicles, and there was cubicles on the other side of me. So I literally ran the antenna. I don't know if you ever had one, but
Well, I have yours.
Oh, that's right. So, you know, the antenna.
Yeah.
The antenna was long, really long.
Yeah, it was just a long wire.
Yeah. So you could take it and run it a long way. And that's what I did, was I ran it to like in between the cubicles so no bosses would see it. And I ran it all the way out to a window. And then I had my MiFi just plugged into a little dock that I kind of tucked in behind. That was back in the big monitor days, the big box monitors.
Yeah. The big CRT screens.
Yeah. So I had it tucked in behind there and I had headphones coming out and it looked like they were coming out of the computer. So that they thought it was like the computer that I had headphones on for, but it was really so that I could listen to ONA and Ron and Fez. I was a dork with that shit, dude.
It was good. I mean, I would listen to it in the car because I had bought my 2006 Monte Carlo Super Sport and it had the XM in it. And, right. I listened to it to and from, and then when I was traveling, I would listen to it all day long, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh yeah.
So, it was good time, but man, just nothing to listen to as far as on any kind of commercial platform.
No.
So thank goodness there are, you know, podcasts out there, regardless if it's like a Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla or,
sure.
or our stuff or, you know, ONA or whatever it is, yeah. you do have a selection out there mm-hmm. that you can choose from now.
And there's some decent stuff out there. You know, I go back and forth with this show, but Legion of Skanks is as close to the old days as you can get. My only real problem with that show, and I enjoy it. They're all funny and they really do bounce off each other. Well, the only problem is they got too many guys, you know, it's like five guys and a guest.
Yeah.
So it ends up being a whole lot of mishmash sound and you don't catch all the jokes because, you know, there's too many guys at once. But that's a pretty, if you're looking for something that's like the old days, that's a pretty good podcast, Legion of Skanks. You know, so there's a few that are out there. There's just not a bunch.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, even your local guys were a little more edgy. You know, dude, here is as much as we hate Rover. He was still edgy somewhat with his made up stories. You know, I know this guy and he was on a boat and he drowned his girlfriend. And then he just said it was because he admired Scott Peterson. So he got away with it. Can you believe that? Can you believe it, Doogie?
I have a friend.
Yeah. Everything was, I have a friend.
Yeah, sure you do.
Yeah. You know, that's, he had no friends. He's
a nondescript person just to fit the storyline.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I do not like giving them any props because that guy Dieter was a fucking first class cunt when I was at the station. But
well, I gotta tell you, I don't think I've listened to commercial radio since I had gotten my 2006 Monte Carlo. Yeah. I think that was the last time that I listened to commercial radio aside from, you know, like a talk radio. And I don't even listen to talk radio. I listen to the podcast of whatever show was on talk radio, whether it's mm-hmm. Mark Levin or whatever. I just listen to the podcast because they take the commercials out.
I occasionally will throw on some sports talk occasionally and not often, certainly these days, not at all. When I'm at home, never, you know, but if I'm in the car and I'm in the car for a while, sometimes I'll throw on some sports talk, you know, but for the most part, I'm like with you, dude, I have all my podcasts. And of course I'm the ridiculous tech dork that I am. So I have them all on my TV and, you know, I have it all synced so that I can play half of a podcast on my TV. And then when I get in the car, it's already synced to the exact spot that I left off on the TV. And, you know, I'm a total dork like that so that I can listen to what I want. But that, you know what, that's the way of the world today is to listen to what you want instead of, you know, having to listen to fucking 5 hours of a douchebag like Mike Trevisano or whatever. You know, listen to that fucking guy eating on the air and whatnot. It's like, yeah. Fuck off, dude.
Well, you know, what I had today is, you know, I had the ONA stream on today and sure. I just had it cast to my television.
Right.
You know, and so I just had it on to where no matter where I was in the house, I could hear it, you know,
sure. what
I
mean? So
It was just good. It was just good listening all day.
Yeah. You don't have a YouTube app on your Roku?
I do, but the thing is it just goes to it. You know what I mean? You'd have to type it in on the Roku. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Although,
but if I just go to it on my computer and then cast it to my Roku,
sure,
it just goes to that immediately, and then I can just on my computer I can just hit stop casting and then just pick whatever the next thing is and just do that. You know, it's just quicker. I don't have to search for it; it's just right there.
Yeah, believe me, I do enough casting.
Yeah,
dude. I'm such a dork. Like last night or yesterday, I was watching. I was watching this documentary about this Billy, I think his name, Billy Milligan. I don't know. He was the campus rapist at Ohio State in the 70s.
Okay.
Quite a story on that guy all by himself. But I was watching that, but that wasn't enough for me. So then I'm also watching shit on my phone too. And then I had other shit going on my fucking iPad. I literally had a phone in one hand, an iPad in another, and a TV on. And I'm watching a little of this and a little of that and a little of, you know, I was catching all of it. And I don't know how I retain anything,
yeah.
But I do. I was watching three things at once and I retained all of it. It was like, okay, that's cool. I love having my gadgets, man.
I guess you do. Well, when you're stuck at home, you, I guess you got to make your own entertainment.
Well, your own entertainment. And, you know, a lot of it for me the last couple of weeks has been doing a little bit of work on the iPad. You know, that's all I had was the iPad, unless I wanted to get up and get out of breath. So, you know, I was like, fuck it. I'll just work right here on my iPad, get some shit done.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, well, I go ahead.
Well, what I was saying is that, you know, listening to the ONA stuff, mm-hmm. you know, just was putting me in the mood to get behind the mic myself and do what we do. So, you know, but it's just for, you know, and the thing is the chemistry between Norton and, uh-huh. and Anthony, just freaking hysterical. They're just those one-off, just those sneaky little lines that Norton throws in there. It's just so funny.
Just little stupid things too. Like, dude, I never noticed this when the show was live originally, or I didn't notice it often. I love when the guests leave and he yells their name and obviously turns around so that the guest stops in the hallway, but then they pretend like they didn't call him. Like as they're leaving, he'll go, "Hey, Bill." And then they, you know, and then they all laugh when the guy stops. Just so stupid, but fucking hilarious.
Yeah. They were goofing on that heavy set lady up there in Rochester, New York. What was her name? Terry.
Terry. Not Jan Terry.
No. Jan Terry. Shit. What's her name? Can't think of it.
Terry Clifton.
Yeah. Terry Clifton. And, I got to give, who's the kid who put all of the Jocktobers together?
E-Rock.
No, it wasn't E-Rock.
Was it, Sam?
Sam.
Yeah.
He did all the, you know, recording and editing of all the shows and then making the cut sheet.
Right.
And you know, setting everybody up for what they were going to hear next and everything. But, you know, he did it in such a way that it was like opposite of what was really going to happen.
Right.
Like next on Terry Clifton, Terry says something or other and
it's interesting and funny.
Yeah, it's interesting. Exactly. That's kind of what I was going for. And Jeremy gets a zinger in.
Right.
And so they're talking and her little sidekick there, Jeremy, says something. And of course, Terry Clifton being the hole that she is, she goes, "Oh, Jeremy.
Guys, stop."
Exactly. And they stop the audio and go, I didn't hear the zinger. What did Jeremy get the zinger? Norton just goes, she goes, "Oh, Jeremy," and under his breath, Jeremy says, "Shut up, pig." Just says stuff like that. Just so quick like that. He's just funny as fuck, man.
Dude, that show at its time, there was nothing better. Nothing. I don't care what anybody says. That I know everybody, the Howard faithful will always say, oh, Howard was always funny. No, he wasn't. Howard was funniest in the early days. Nobody was funnier than Howard in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, he was just fucking funny. But when ONA came in with a fresher attitude and blew him out of the water.
Yeah.
That's why he tried to neutralize him. Because he knew he was going to be ended by those guys.
But I'll tell you what, I got to give Anthony props, because him and his impressions are just hysterical when he does his Andrew Dice Clay, mm-hmm. you know, and when he does, who else does he do? That's really funny. He just the way he does his riffing with his impressions of people, it just makes me laugh every time. Oh,
yeah. He's hysterical, man. he's definitely, what's crazy is seeing him perform live, you know, as a stand-up, like doing stand-up, he could have easily been a fucking great stand-up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He was hysterically funny. And the funny part was he had to have his phone out, because he didn't even, like, he just kept a couple of ideas together and he couldn't remember what he so didn't put any effort into it that he just fucking wrote everything down instead of learning his,
yeah, sure,
his lines. You know, and we were dying laughing. He was so fucking funny. You know, I mean, he had a lot of guys that were not funny on that show. He had, you know, there was like 9 comedians or something, and 4 were not funny. 1 was Don Jameson that was marginally funny. And then you had Aaron Berg, who was the best of the night, and Gino Bisconti, who was really funny, and Anthony, that was really funny. So overall it worked out, but you know, it was surprising to me, a guy that's clearly not a comic, that he was that good. You know, that was shocking.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is he doesn't do stand up every day. So I can kind of understand that, you know, he had to figure his way to do a show.
Sure.
You know, and I guess you're right. I, again, he's got his own gig and then flying and all this other stuff. So putting something together, putting some effort into it, but you know, you still enjoyed him for whatever it is he delivered to you.
Enjoyed him enough to nearly die for that show.
Yeah. And here's your parting gift, a case of the COVID.
Yeah, coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got a free Corona at that show. Not the you kind did. Of like.
Here, cheers to you, Chris Aiken, for stopping right. out.
That's right. Dude, the guy is Aaron Berg. I don't know. Have you seen him or heard of him or anything?
I know of him. I don't know that I know his stuff.
You got to look him up, dude.
All right.
He's your kind of comic, just brutal as brutal can be comic. I don't know where you'd look him up. I can't imagine that YouTube would allow any of his stuff on. But he is fucking hysterical. I mean, dude, I was crying laughing. He was so funny. He's really good.
Yeah. It's hard to get a good comedian these days.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you do, then everybody wants to cancel them.
Yeah, no shit. You know, about the only two people out there on the circuit that I have any interest in, you know, going to see live, like a Chris Porter or Doug Stanhope.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you go see Chappelle? I would.
Yeah, it's marginal. Did you see his latest special? The curtain call, or the last call, or the last curtain, or whatever that is on Netflix.
Is that the one where he comes out wearing like a prisoner suit or whatever?
No, it's just as late. It's his latest.
How old is it?
It's like a couple weeks old.
Oh no, I haven't seen that one. The last one I saw was the one that was like,
well, you know, the Alphabet Soup group people are really upset because he basically wouldn't acknowledge them as being, you know, legitimate, that, you know, he more or less said that there's just two sexes out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I heard they staged a big walkout today.
Yeah. That's what happened was, I guess the higher echelon, upper echelon in Netflix was having some kind of a meeting, and a couple of the Netflix employees busted into the meeting to show their protest for not airing, you know, for not pulling the Dave Chappelle, yeah, you off. Know, We can't show this.
Yeah, fuck.
We're all for censorship here.
Yeah, yeah. Go censor your fucking cocksucking ways, guys. And I do mean guys, whether you're wearing a wig or not.
but it's just amazing that if anybody goes against the narrative, mm-hmm. that well, you can't see that.
Yeah, fuck off.
Why not? Why can't I see that? Why can't I make the conscious choice of seeing that?
Yeah. Why do I need you and your ideas to dictate what I think or what I want to hear?
Because my ideas are the correct ideas and you're going to accept it.
Who says I need to hear what's correct? See, that's where I always get lost is at what point did I say everything that I hear has to be fact? I don't need to hear facts all the time. You know, and where does this bullshit stop?
It doesn't stop.
You know,
it'll stop when the American public, the majority of the American public, actually stand up and tell people knock it off.
Yeah, because nobody, you know, and it's funny. I was watching Anthony this week, and he was talking about how he went to South Carolina for the weekend to look at a house last weekend, and he went to like a street fair, and he couldn't believe that people were like nice. You know, like people greeted him and
he's from New York. That's the New York rude.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he was saying was he was talking about how he was at a restaurant or something. And at the restaurant, they gave everybody like wine, like a bottle of wine or something. And at some point, some couple came up to him and said, "Hey, we're not going to finish our wine. Do you want our wine?" And gave him like half a bottle of wine. He was like, and he was talking about, well, he immediately thought that it must be spiked and must be, you know,
skittiness.
Yeah, exactly. That was what he thought. And it was like, and then he was talking about being on the street and how, you know, there were white people and black people and there was no trans flags that were out and there was no, you know, people fighting over what they were, nothing. There was that. And he made a point to go, yeah, there was actual families out here, like a mom and a dad and a kid. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, dude, this has been our argument forever is what goes on those two coasts is not what's going on in the rest of the country. It's not.
Well, I'm sure they were white supremacists. I'm sure about that.
Well, I'm sure if somebody from the coasts went there, they would say that. But you know as well as I do, outside of downtown Chicago, when you get outside to Indiana and, you know, that shit ain't happening. There's not a glut of people in Neely neighborhood waving their fucking rainbow flags.
None at
and,
all.
You know, wearing a wig and a dress, even though they were born fucking Carl. You know, I mean, that's just not happening in the real world. It's only happening in these fringe cities that, you know, I don't care if they are the biggest cities in the world. They're the fringe cities of the world. The real America is everywhere in between.
Yep.
And that is... In real America, no one gives a fuck. In real America, our attitude has always been, fuck a toaster, we don't care.
Yeah.
Couldn't give a shit where you're sticking your dick. You know, and that's the truth.
That is the truth.
You know.
My nephew reminded me that the name of the Chappelle special is called The Closer.
The Closer. Now, I have not watched it yet.
Yeah. It's not funny. I didn't find it to be funny. I mean, he had a few nuggets of truth in there, I guess, mm-hmm. but it was almost like a stand-up dialogue thing. It there wasn't like a lot of funny jokes and stuff.
Okay.
And it was a little serious, and boy, Dave is getting husky in the voice. I know he's a smoker.
Right.
But, man, he doesn't sound like Dave Chappelle anymore. He's like this. He sounds like the old black blues man from the South now, you know, he's just, you know,
I'm like, James Brown, bitch.
Exactly. It's like, Dave, what's going on with you? His voice has dropped like three octaves.
Hmm.
He's just sounds like the gruff old, blues player from, from down in Louisiana.
Sweet Willie Chappelle.
Hey, really? That really does.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's strange to see him because, you know, he's sporting the shaved head and he's kind of thicker now. He's kind of chunkier now and obviously older. And he doesn't look like the Dave Chappelle from the Dave Chappelle Show, which, you know, I cannot believe it's almost been 20 years already.
Well, you make $100 million, you can finally afford to eat.
I guess. So, yeah, but it's okay. I mean, I didn't get any ha ha's out of it. I don't even think I chuckled a little bit, you know. Okay. It's okay. I mean, but I understand where the, like, people like the Alphabet Soup group would get all upset because he wasn't kowtowing to their belief system and whatnot. Right. But it was social commentary. That's all it was.
Yeah. Well, the thing is it's not a problem that the Alphabet Soup people are upset. It's a problem that people care.
Yeah.
People trying to pretend, they're so afraid of being labeled as anti-Alphabet Soup that they feign that they care too.
Right.
And they don't. They just don't. You know, most guys, I would argue this all day long. Most guys that would throw up at the thought of sucking a dick are the same ones, or not most guys that are that. Most guys that support that behavior would not condone that behavior in their own life.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and that's if you won't do it, then don't bitch about it. It should be that, you know, if you don't want to fuck a chick, then don't talk about fucking chicks and don't tell people that don't fuck chicks that they're wrong. You know, that's kind of where I'm at this point, is stop railing against shit that you don't believe in yourself. If you believe in it, if you truly want to be pro-gay, then suck a cock.
it's like Sam Kinison. Well, you know, I was thinking about sucking a dick somewhere in my life, you know, and, you know, but when you bring in that whole AIDS factor, that puts that fire right out.
Yeah, it's like.
And then it's like, Sam, a woman's broken your heart. Here, suck a dick.
But you wouldn't see Kit. You would have never seen Kinison being pro gay.
No,
because he wasn't gay.
No.
You know, that's fucking that's the part that drives me crazy. People that if you put a dick in front of them, they would fucking run for cover. But I believe everybody should suck a dick.
Yeah, sure.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Ugh. People. Where's my I hate people hat? I need to put that on.
Well, I think your backdrop says it all. You have that menacing Motorhead stage behind you.
Right.
So that says to me that you're a testosterone filled hateful man.
Yes, I am.
Because you're listening to that hateful Motorhead music.
I do. I love to hate. I'm a pro hater.
Because Lemmy was a man's man. He liked chicks. He liked drink. He liked drugs.
He liked
to rock and he liked to rock and roll, as Sebastian Bach says. We'll talk about that. Don't even get into it. I'm gonna make a segment out of that.
Okay, good. Because I was so happy to see things this week.
Well, what do you say we take a break, play a few songs?
All right.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about Sebastian Bitch.
All right, sounds good to me.
All right. Well, since we're talking about Motorhead, would you like to pick a Motorhead song?
I would. Let me do a quick search. I want something from The World Is Yours, but I cannot for the life of me remember the track listing. Is yours? I think it's 3 or 4. The World Is Yours. I would like to hear. I would like for this thing to fucking open. I would like to hear Brotherhood of Man.
Okay.
From the World Is Yours release. Underrated record that a lot of people didn't even hear.
All right.
You know, came out. Jesus, we are getting old fast. This fucking record came out 11 years ago.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, Lemmy's been gone, what, 6 years now? Or almost? Yeah. Almost 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
What, he died in 15?
I think so, yeah.
In December of 2015?
6 years? Jesus.
Yeah.
We are getting old in a rapid, rapid fire hurry.
I get you. All right, well, we're going to play a few tunes here. We'll be back and blah, blah, blah. So here it is. This is Motorhead with Brotherhood of Man exclusively here.
On your classic metal show.
Thanks for checking out this episode of The Classic Metal Show. Get all of our episodes uncensored at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. Join us weekly from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Eastern at www.cmsradio.net. Participate in the live chat room at www.chatandkill.com. Once again, thank you for checking out The Classic Metal Show with Neely and Chris. Hail and kill. Fuck you, pal. And hand job!
Heavy Metal Television. Around the world. 24 hours a day. Forever free.